No doubt you've heard the health poo buzz for quite some time talking about the rise of the Zika virus and kind of being concerned about this. And I just wanted to kind of update you on what happened. We had a baby girl with the Zika virus, the Zika virus-related microcephaly, that is the very small head syndrome, was born in New Jersey. First time this happened in the United States, happened on Tuesday. And mother, as you would imagine, very upset about this. And the issue that we're having with the Zika virus is that people are wondering, well, can it come here? Is it actually going to infect our mosquitoes? And I don't know. I don't know what the answers to that question are. But joining me in studio, someone who probably knows more about it than most of us, that's Jim Lunders. He's a biologist, and he's also the manager of Jackson County Vector Control. How are you doing this morning?
Good. Thank you for having me.
All right. So, Jim, how long have you been with Vector Control?
So I have been here for 3.5 years. I've actually been in mosquito control for 22 years.
Okay, so you know this stuff. You've forgotten more about mosquito control than most of us know here. So yeah, just so we understand, people think about vector control, mostly mosquito abatement, but this is a special district. This is not technically part of county government. You have your own taxing authority, just under a nickel per thousand on property taxes pay for your services, right?
Correct. We're a special district. We were formed in 1968 by a vote of the people of Jackson County. We are countywide, and our tax rate is 4.29 cents per thousand.
4.29. Okay, very good. And a lot of it is education, educating people on vectors. And when you talk about vector control, it's a disease vector. A vector is a way of spreading a disease? Is that
correct? So a vector is really anything that can spread a disease from one animal to another. So a mosquito can spread, for instance, West Nile virus from a bird to a human. A flea would spread plague from a rat to a human. So that's what the term vector means.
And then, of course, a rat can be a vector itself, too, I mean, even for rabies, let's say, right?
Correct. So you have a rat can be a vector. The fleas that are on the rat can be a vector. So there's a lot of things that can vector disease from one thing to another.
And so you even have deer, as an example, in Jacksonville, where I used to live. You have the deer in Jacksonville, but there's ticks on the deer, right? So is the deer technically a vector, or the tick the vector?
So the tick is vectoring the disease. So the tick is what would be carrying Lyme disease from the deer to you.
All right. How many vectors are there? Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of curious about that. I bet you know this.
A lot, but you know, we primarily deal, we have, our primary goal is to control mosquitoes and the diseases they carry. We also have lots of public information on ticks, on rats, and on flies. So that's the four things we mainly deal with. Mm-hmm. But in Oregon, for instance, we have about 50 species of mosquitoes. So even the public tends to think of mosquitoes as one thing, but there's really... we have about 12 we deal with here. So they're actually all 12 different species, and they have different habitats and spread different diseases.
I had no idea that there are so many different types of mosquitoes here, even in Jackson County. You said a dozen?
Yeah.
A dozen kinds? So what, there's a different kind of mosquito that sits in the old tire in the backyard as contrasted with one that's in the forest? Is that the kind of situation
correct.
You're talking?
So here we really have everything from tree hole mosquitoes, that their larval habitat is holes in trees that fill up with water, rainwater, to flooded pasture mosquitoes, to the ones in the storm drain out in front of the station here.
Really?
So pretty much any habitat anything that holds standing water for 7 days can produce mosquitoes, and there's a mosquito that will find that niche.
All right, I have a swimming pool now. So is there a different type of mosquito that lives in a swimming pool as contrasted with the tree mosquito?
Correct. So and swimming pools are a great example. Swimming pools, ornamental ponds, all those things, if they're not taken care of properly, the main mosquito that's producing them is Culex pipiens. It's one of the primary vectors of West Nile virus in this area. So they like those habitats. The backyard sources, the mosquito that's most likely to get you sick, those are the habitats they like.
The backyard. Backyard mosquito.
Yeah, well,
or the Culex, is that what you're talking about?
It's one of the Culex species. Its actual common name is the northern house mosquito. They like to come inside your house.
Do you rattle the stuff off at cocktail parties? I'm kind of curious.
Well, yeah.
I'm just having fun with you.
Well,
here.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard sometimes when you're associated with this many mosquito people.
I like that, so. Though. But that is probably your main abatement job as part of vector control, right?
So it's the hardest part of our job. It's the part we need the most help from the public with, because those big sources that are easy to see are easy for us to find and treat. It's the stuff in your backyard, the old tires, the 5-gallon buckets, all these things that fill up with water and produce mosquitoes. A 5-gallon bucket can produce 1,000 mosquitoes a week. So if those things are in your backyard cranking out mosquitoes, that's extremely difficult for us to find. So we really need the public's help in dumping all those containers over and helping us eliminate those sources, so we can deal with the big sources that you can't do that with.
All right. So what is the kind of treatment that you actually use on the big sources that Jackson County Vector Control ends up doing to eradicate mosquitoes? And what do you actually use? What kind of chemicals do you actually use to do this? I've always wondered.
So if the public's interested, we have a complete list on our website at JacksonCountyVectorControlDistrict.org. But the main product we use is BTI, which is a naturally occurring soil bacteria to kill the larva in sources. So we'll go out there, find the larva, and treat it.
You're not using pyrethrins, or way you pronounce
pyrethrins.
It? Pyrethrins. That's
so
it.
We do use for adult mosquito control. We use right now we're using a product called Anvil that's a synthetic pyrethroid. Mm-hmm. It's sumethrin. So, and that's to kill the adults, but that's secondary to try and, we always try to kill the mosquitoes as larvae before they're biting flying adults.
Easier to kill them in the womb, right?
Well, they're stuck there. They're in that location. They can't go anywhere. They're stuck in the water.
That makes sense.
Once they're on the wing, we have species of mosquitoes here that can fly up to 10 miles. So...
You're kidding me.
No, so...
These little tiny mosquitoes can fly 10 miles?
Yeah, so that's why we get in a situation where we don't want them to get to that point. It does happen, and that's why we have a robust surveillance system to find out where those adult mosquitoes are and control them as quickly as possible, because every day you wait, they keep spreading out. So it's very important that we act quickly and try to control the population as close to the source as possible so they don't spread.
Okay, before I get to phones and other questions about this, you say a mosquito, an adult mosquito, can fly 10 miles. Is this in a day or like over a series of days? I'm just thinking to myself, a mosquito in Phoenix flies over to Ashland for the night and gets a meal and comes back, or what?
Well, they tend to when they travel, they tend to, what they'll do is in the evening, they'll go up into the air column where the wind's moving, and they'll just catch the breeze and just go, and then... They'll only go as far as they need to find a blood meal. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, if they're raised out in the country, they're attracted to light, and they come up in the air, they head towards the lights of town. So you might have mosquitoes that are born well outside of town that end up in town looking for a blood meal.
Very interesting. We're talking with Jim Lunders, and he is the manager and also biologist with Jackson County Vector Control. And we want to talk a little bit about mosquito abatement. Now, as far as Zika virus, and that's what everybody is just, I don't want to say panicked, but there's certainly a lot of conversation about that going on in the news. At first, CDC didn't take it too seriously. They didn't think there was much chance of it coming here. But what about the Zika that we're seeing in the United States right now? Is that actually coming from our native mosquito population?
So right now, there's been no local transmission in the United States, the continental United States. Mm-hmm. It's all been all the disease we've seen so far is travel related. That isn't to say Puerto Rico does have local transmission. Mm-hmm. It is likely the southern tier of the United States will see local transmission
at
this
some
year.
Point. Yeah.
They have the right mosquitoes, so. It will happen at some point. So
if a mosquito were to, I'm wondering how the vector actually transmits. We know that mosquitoes can transmit the virus itself, though. If a mosquito bites, let's say that one of our dozen or so mosquito types that we have here in Jackson County, if one of them bites someone who is infected with the Zika virus, does that mosquito automatically then become a carrier? Or is there are there cases to be made that sometimes the virus doesn't always transfer into the mosquito itself?
So the virus and the mosquito have to be compatible, and that's the rub. So there's different species are competent vectors for different things.
Okay.
So what has to happen is they have to ingest the virus. Mm-hmm. The virus has to travel to their salivary glands of the mosquito, replicate there. And so when they bite you and they inject their saliva into you, it's an anticoagulant to thin your blood. When they do that, that's how the virus comes into you. So if they pick up a virus that won't do that in that species of mosquito, it simply gets broke down in their midgut and it's gone.
See, so. I never knew that. I was under the impression that a mosquito is a mosquito is a mosquito as far as carrying a disease, and that's not the case at all. There are specific there are some diseases that are more specific than others to a particular type of mosquito, right?
Correct. So here, for instance, we have the tree hole mosquitoes. Aedes suriensis carries mm-hmm. dog heartworm.
Yeah.
So we have Culex pipiens and Culex tarsalis carrying West Nile virus. So these different species are carrying different diseases, and it's based on how that disease works within the mosquito. So you have to have the right mosquito with the right disease and to get transmission.
And at this point in time, we don't have the right kind of mosquito to transmit Zika, as far as we know, correct?
So correct. We don't have the two known vectors for Zika that they have in the southern United States. We don't know for 100% that one of the species we have can't transmit. That testing still has to be done, but we don't know that right now. But it's unlikely at this time, but we can't say never.
You can't say never. But at this point in time, we don't believe that our mosquitoes are Zika transmitters.
Correct.
But we know they transmit a lot of other stuff, including West Nile virus. We've heard those.
And that's what I'm hopeful people don't lose sight of is people are very concerned about Zika, especially because those pictures you see of those children are horrific.
Sure.
But we have diseases here right now that do make people sick, and it's important that we control them and take the proper precautions. The good part is that the same precautions for Zika or West Nile virus or any of these mosquito-borne diseases, you know, wearing repellent, dressing in light-colored clothing when you're outside, dumping over all those backyard sources and buckets, they apply to all these diseases. So by having a good mosquito control program, by doing surveillance, by all these things work for all these diseases.
How do you surveil for mosquitoes? Are there traps set up around the area? So, how do you do this?
So we have seasonal technicians that go out. If we have service requests, people report that they're having a problem, they'll go out, do an inspection. One, they'll look to see how many adult mosquitoes they see. And they'll also look for the larval source and try to find out what's going on. We have fixed trap sites around the county that are baited. They're CO2 baited traps because
they're always attracted to carbon dioxide.
Correct.
That
so,
we breathe out. Yeah.
So we trap mosquitoes. We test them. We ID them, and we test those mosquitoes for disease as well. And then we have floater traps where we don't know what's going. We've heard something over here. We go set a trap over there and find out what's going on, because that species information from those traps is super important. Because when you find out what species is there and causing the problem, you can figure out what their larval habitat is. And like I said, go map that and control them as larvae next time so we don't have to deal with them as flying adults.
Eli, you have a question. Go ahead.
Hi. Actually, I had a comment. There was a group of doctors from the Red University of Environment and Health in South America that said that the cases of microcephaly.
That's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah. Discovered in Brazil have never been scientifically linked to Zika, but instead they occurred in areas where there was mass fumigation of low-income Brazilian people. They point out that Zika virus has been around for who knows how long. It was discovered decades and decades ago.
And by the way, I agree with you. I've read that. I've read those articles, those papers you were talking about, Eli, and
yeah.
We'll concede that. But they are still terming what happened to the New Jersey woman's child Zika-related. So,
right. Well,
I just don't have much time. What would be your question for Jim about this, though?
I don't have a question for Jim other than has he even looked into the fact that, you know, lots of people have Zika who don't have the brain disease, and a lot of people get the brain disease that don't have the Zika virus.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I don't know if that's something that is in your wheelhouse or not, Jim.
Well, I think you really should, you know, look at the what CDC is saying. They have studies now that have shown that Zika virus does kill brain cells. So I'm not aware. I can't speak to all the science in a few seconds, but this I would trust that the scientists at CDC are working hard on this, and they have shown conclusively that this is caused by Zika virus in these cases.
All right. Appreciate the call, Eli. Francine's in Talent. Hello, Francine. You have an interesting question. GMO mosquitoes? How are you doing?
Yeah. Well, yeah, a few years ago, I started seeing articles coming up about a release of GMO mosquitoes, supposedly so that they were not able to reproduce. There was some, either the male or something was sterile or whatever. But there's been some talk, you know, about them having some effect on the possible Zika virus or whatever, but I also was just curious what the gentleman might know about the GMO mosquitoes and how they're affecting the mosquito population. And I also wanted to ask if he has time to tell us a little more about that the soil bacteria that's used. And also I wanted to mention that another source of the mosquito breeding that people might overlook is like old tarps flying around and plastic and stuff making little puddles. Things like that.
Fair enough. Thanks, Francine.
Okay.
Boy, there's a lot. I don't know. What do you have time to actually hit here?
So there are GMO mosquitoes. They're still in the trial phase. They're actually Aedes aegypti. So that's the primary vector of Zika, yellow fever, dengue, and chikungunya. So, but that's all being done primarily in the southeastern United States. You're correct. Tarps, like I said earlier, anything that holds water for 7 days can produce mosquitoes. I've seen mosquitoes larvae in things as small as pop bottle caps. So I absolutely anything that holds water for 7 days can produce mosquitoes. So anything the public can do to take care of those sources is a huge help.
All right. Jessica's in Ashland. Jessica, you had a question about the spray? Go ahead. You're with Jim Lunders.
Yes. Hello. My name is Jessica Bryan. I live in North Ashland. I live on Bear Creek, kind of across from the bike path. And the night that they sprayed over here, we didn't know they were going to spray Anvil 1010. And it came in my window, and I smelled it very strongly and shut the window. And after that, I was sick for about 10 days with weird nerve pains and lung irritation.
Yeah, what's your question, Jessica?
Well,
yeah, we get that.
My question is can they do a better job of informing people when they're going to be spraying these chemicals around the neighborhood?
All right, Jessica, interesting question.
So we have a spray notification both on our website and our Facebook page. So I encourage you to go to JacksonCountyVectorControl.org to get that information, and we post that every day.
Do you have a regular schedule, or do you?
So we don't. We don't schedule spraying, and the reason why is we do everything based on surveillance. So if we had a schedule to spray, we'd be spraying areas that didn't need sprayed or skipping areas that did need control work done. So we do everything based on surveillance. We look at the trap numbers, get the information from the technicians, and go out and control those areas that need controlled as quickly as possible so we don't have to control a bigger area.
All right. Thanks, Jessica. Don's in Medford. Hello, Don. Question for Jim Lunders, and you get the final word.
Yeah, Jim, how do you folks keep from getting these diseases? Do you take some super flu shot that keeps you healthy?
No, so we practice what we preach. We wear loose-fitting, long-sleeve pants and shirts, wear EPA-registered insect repellents, and when I'm home in the evenings, you know, mosquitoes are most are out most at dusk and dawn, especially the ones that can transmit disease. I make sure I'm always protected by using insect repellent and wearing long sleeves and long pants. And if there's a lot of mosquitoes, I go inside. So that's what I do. You know, as far as protecting everything else, I make sure my horses are vaccinated for West Nile virus. I make sure my dog's treated for dog heartworm. And I also make sure my dog's vaccinated for Lyme disease, because we have Lyme disease and ticks here too.
All right. Thanks for the call there, Don. Final question I would have for you. What is probably the most commonly transmitted vector here in Jackson County of everything you've talked about?
So the most common disease we deal with, and we deal with every year here, is West Nile virus. Mm-hmm. We have a robust surveillance program, so we tend to find the virus in the mosquitoes long before we do in birds. And we've been able to keep from having any human disease for quite a few years here. So we try to find the virus as early as we can, ramp up our control efforts, and protect the public from the potential of getting bit by a mosquito that is transmitting the disease.
All right, very good. Jim Lunders, once again, Jackson County Vector Control. We appreciate your take. Thanks for coming in this morning, fielding a few questions, and happy, well, bug killing, I guess. Best way to do it, huh? 734 at FM 106.7 KMED. 69 degrees. By the way, go to KMED.com or our Facebook page to get signed up to win your dream vacation. We're not going to pick where you go. You choose where you go. And you go someplace, it could be Hawaii or some other island. Maybe you want to go to Mexico, perhaps to Canada. Maybe you just want to go to a family reunion or just see the kids. Whatever it is, just go sign up. And we thank the folks over at Medford BMW for helping make this possible. We're going to give this away about the 9th, and all we're looking for is just your email address. Pretty simple. Just go to the KMED Facebook page and like it if you could, and then go to the sweepstakes tab. Pretty simple stuff from Medford BMW and FM 106.7 and AM 1440 KMED. Meanwhile, though, speaking of Facebook and Twitter and all the rest of the big cyber biggies out here, have you heard that that little agreement with the European Union that Facebook and Twitter have ended up coming to? Because, well, they're a little bit concerned about what is termed hate speech. Yeah, break this down for us is Michael Doherty. He's a senior writer for Cyber Defense Magazine, board member at Snoopwall, global leader in affordable breach prevention. And his amazing book, which I read about a year ago, maybe a little bit longer than that, The Devil Inside the Beltway, the shocking expose of the U.S. government's surveillance and overreach into cybersecurity, medicine, and small business. That is a mouthful. Michael, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Hey, before we get into this this latest Facebook EU agreement and such, give us a thumbnail of what the federal government did to you, which ended up leading to the devil inside the beltway.
I got my medical laboratory got hacked. The hacker wasn't admitting it was a hacker. He said he was finding things and offered to help if we'd only pay him. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't pay him. He kicked me over to the feds. The feds start investigating my laboratory because they said, well, if it can get out, you have bad security, and that's unfair to consumers. And I fought back, and I found out they were in cahoots together, and they're so incompetent they didn't realize the guy was a crook. And he was taking these files, and he was manipulating them to look like they'd spread all over the world. And the government believed him and never checked anything and went after me and 85 other companies on flawed evidence. So,
And they put you out of business, didn't they? Didn't they put you out of business?
Put us out of business. And there's I'll tell you something else. 2 weeks ago, Business Week did a whole investigative piece. They worked 5 months on the whole story. So if you Google Business Week, LabMD, FTC, there's a really, really in-depth, good story about it. But, and it's just scary. It's important for us to learn all these tricks. And it's the same old game, same thing that we're going to talk about here with the EU. They put this mask of caring and wonderfulness on it to diffuse us, and then they go do terrible things behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing with government, and that's why we have to be careful.
So when you have the European Union, which we consider much of what I talk about on a daily basis here, hate speech, because I talk about, you know, Second Amendment, civil liberties, actual, you know, freedom of expression, vigorous debate. Well, over in the European Union, they don't think about it that way, do they?
No, it's interesting about the European Union, Europe in general. They seem to have a lot of problems with freedoms, and they seem to have a real track record of repeating history. And it's always covered in, you know, they don't understand the difference between freedom and having to tolerate that type of disagreement. And instead, they, some of them, manipulate it with this. They've thrown hate speech into terrorism. So if you, and it's just a whole manipulation to wear you down. I mean, you have to be able to fight being called a racist and hateful and a terrorist supporter if you disagree with their policies. And the way they muscle it is they get these big firms, Microsoft, Facebook, Google, Twitter. And these are the new mega media companies now, because so many people get their news through those people, through those organizations. So by controlling that, and those companies want to keep the government happy, because the government can gut those companies, and it has in the past really damaged Microsoft. So the companies go along to get along, and these well-intentioned politicians do this. The next thing you know, they are deciding what is hateful. They are controlling the narrative, and you've got a social brand on you of a bad guy if you just disagree with how they're doing it. And this is how it's always happened. This is just another infinite example.
Now, we may be kind of putting out a self-satisfied smirk on our face. Well, that's the European Union. Our government would never do anything like that and actually get involved with Facebook or say, hey, get the hate speech taken down by within 24 hours. That's what they're doing right now with the European Union, would we?
I mean, Barack Obama is the king of big data analysis. He would do the exact same thing. He snuggles up with those guys. He forces all the agencies to cough up all this data. He mines it. He had a Google with him election night. He used all these tools. And I'm telling you, these tech companies, the big ones, not the growing ones, but the big ones have learned if you ignore Washington, D.C. at your peril. So 15 years ago, they weren't even there. And Bill Gates learned the hard way. Now they all have these mega palatial locations, and they're whining and dining. And Facebook, I was with the head counsel of Facebook a year ago in Chicago, and he said, we're in the FTC every week. We think they're fine.
What?
Well, of course you think they're fine. You know, they must be really nice to you. They all want jobs at Facebook when they're out of there. So it's crony capitalism and selective perception and really terrifying.
So when there was that meeting the other week, because there were conservatives, and I think they were right about this, that believed that Facebook was pushing down the conservative news or news from a right-wing slant, that it was being pushed down and not being allowed to trend in their news feed all that much, and that if you have a conservative point of view, your post wouldn't get as much reach. I think that's absolutely true. Is that a government directive, you think, or really the point of view of the Facebook tech world? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I think it's the Facebook tech world, because it's a very young world. And look, it's not new. Younger generations tend to be more liberal. They have, you know, because it's more theory, they have less life experience. And Zuckerberg is not exactly an old middle-aged guy with a ton of life experience. I mean, you know, so he's got a very narrow yet wealthy yet deep experience. And they say that about Facebook employees give money to Hillary 4-1. You know, when you think you're doing the right thing and you're doing it to be nice and you think people that disagree with you are terrible because you're drinking the Kool-Aid, this is just, you know, see how it creeps over? It's kind of like, well, I'm just stealing the stapler from the company. That's not theft. Everyone does it. Mm-hmm. It's that same subtleness that, oh, what's the big deal because I'm right. And people don't understand how dangerous that is, because this generation doesn't even know much about World War II, let alone remember Bill Clinton and his problems. So we've had a really smooth sailing by and large the last 20 years. So it's not in their wheelhouse of how dangerous it is it's like, I hate people to burn the flag. I hate people that say terrible things. But that doesn't mean I'm going to slap them in jail or suppress them for it, because I understand the concept of having to have freedom. It's like,
seems to be the difference with a lot of the younger generation in charge of the tech world, is that not only do I hate what you say, but I'm going to make sure that you can't say it, and that no one is certainly going to hear it. We are going to make you a non-person in the tech world. or on these on these
or makeup stuff like Lena Dunham in her book. I mean, she sort of basically makes up this caricature racist and accuses a campus of all this stuff. And, you know, she thinks she's doing it because she's right. And then, you know, she has to backtrack. And I mean, what's the foundation of it? Oh, she has responsibility because she's so successful and she happens to be right. So since she's making it up, that's not important because she knows it really happens elsewhere. She just knows. See the slippery slope? I mean, it's crazy.
So yeah, I know they do this hence out. If I make it up, it's okay. I did it for a good cause. So Michael Dougherty, let me ask you, though, given your experience with the federal government, are we witnessing the transformation of the social media platforms, in your opinion, in your cyber opinion, given your experience with the feds, that eventually, even though Zuckerberg may own Facebook, that essentially they're all going to be government controlled, really, because of the great ability of all these governments just to shut you down, take you out of business like they did to you?
I think there will always be an attempt to do that, but I think if the American public wakes up to their power, anyone that does it is their great peril, as the political class is learning right now with Sanders and Trump. Both sides, Democrat and Republican, are going, holy cow. I mean, you wake up the American public at your peril. What we have right now is a whole lot of American people asleep. And they wake up, and this thing can flip. Look what's going on right now. So, you know, and in the tech world, I would say let's remember MySpace and Atari and Wang Computer and all the other big behemoths that are now dead. So,
that's true. I mean,
trust. You violate trust, you take FEMA. We take it for granted is the problem. We take it for granted, but we understand it if it's taken away from us, especially the younger generation. They're very distrustful of government, and they take their power in their smartphones for granted. You take that away from them, holy cow, there will be a problem.
That's really interesting. So I think about this, though, and the reason I brought up about government control is that I've read many blogs and articles over the years that will say that many of the people founding Twitter and Facebook, as an example, that there was CIA seed funding and that, you know, this is the way that government has its fingers in the formation of these social media networks.
I don't know if that's true with the CIA, because I don't see the CIA as bureaucrats. Mm-hmm. And I don't see the intention of that now, because I've talked to a lot of people at Homeland Security, for example, and you know, there are different cultures within different parts of the government. And when it comes to technology and cybersecurity, you're going to find that the more official investigative enforcement ones are not interested in control by any means. They're much more by the book versus the ones that are really in control, which are politicized lawyer bureaucrats. And that's who's in the FCC and the FTC and the SEC. Those aren't people that have been trained in law enforcement. They're lawyers. And they use the law as taffy. And they stretch it and pull it and they hassle you till you give up. That's who I'm scared of.
Okay, fair enough.
And look at the FCC trying to take over the internet right now. And, you know, and what they say they're doing is they're going to let it leave it available to everybody that in more impoverished areas, more rural areas. And the opposite will happen. And they will whistle past the graveyard.
Well,
happens all the time.
Well, the point being, FCC wants to take over the internet. And you're right, net neutrality, all those discussions that we've had, I think even with you in the past here. But he who controls that pipeline controls the people. Fair enough.
That's right. That is very true, and that is the danger of drinking the Kool-Aid of what you're reading on the internet, and that's the danger of the pooling of the internet to these mega pipelines of information. I mean, you know, honestly, most of us use Facebook, I guess, judging by how many likes I get. When I put my dogs up on there, I get way more likes than when I get political. Most of us are just trouncing along day to day, talking about our lives and don't understand the background. But that's exactly why the government's all over it. What do you think Barack Obama's all over Google for, using all those tools?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the main reasons he won the election is his fundamental strategy. That's one of the main reasons Ted Cruz was so successful longer than anyone else thought he would be, because he used the technology better than anybody else, and that's why he got so far.
But is that technology, are we actually volunteering our own dossiers through this technology?
Oh, we absolutely, we're just blind to it. I mean, it's almost like we've got, you know, markers on us, and they watch every move we make. There was an article yesterday about how and I'm not verifying this, I'm saying I read this, about how an academic had accused Facebook of actually opening up the microphone and learning things through audio. Now, that I'm sure some people do that because there's that type of hacking, but the point is they know everything we do on any way they can find it so they can sell access to us. They build a profile on us so they can make advertising dollars. So this is what happens when you use a free service. It's not free. You're just not giving them a check. You're giving them your information so they can get their money elsewhere to people that want to sell you stuff or sell you information.
I found it interesting that there is a trend now, a growing trend of people going back to dumb phones for this very reason.
Oh, yeah, I know. You think we go back to an abacus and pencil and paper and envelopes and no email and walking to the banks of the teller. I mean, it's amazing. It would be a boom to the economy.
I love it. Michael, great story. Thanks for sharing your thoughts a little bit, given that you have been on the receiving end of some very serious government tyranny. And, I mean, and putting you out of business. By the way, are you doing okay now, ever since they put you out of business over this non-hacking?
Because I'm speaking. I'm actually going to New York tomorrow, and I'm meeting people about book to TV series. It's very early, but there's a lot, you know, and I'm speaking. And ever since Business Week wrote the story and the FBI raided the hacker 6-7 weeks ago, things have really – now people know I was dead serious and not making it up. So.
It would make a great TV series, right?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Teach people the reality.
All right. Be well. Michael, thanks for being on the show. We'll link to all your information. Michael Dougherty, once again, senior writer for Cyber Defense Magazine. And he's also a board member at Snoop Wall. And his book, Devil Inside the Beltway. We'll be back. This is the Bill Myers Show. 756 at FM 106.7, AM 1440, KMED. Hans Albuquerque. Actually, he calls himself today Hans West Nile Albuquerque. Writes me, Bill, at BillMyersShow.com. Bill, a caller asks Vector Man if they could do a better job of warning citizens of spraying. Vector Man states the following logic. Go to some government website and check, or go to Facebook. Oh, his agency does not schedule or even announce spraying. So to summarize the logic, spend your days and nights checking websites for spraying that they don't even announce publicly, as if following his agency for no reason is our passion. Like Trump media lapdogs, we're just big rats in his big lab. All right. Now, Hans, just to be fair, I talked with Jim about this off the air a bit, and I asked, do you actually do much notification? And what Jim tells me, he says, here's the problem. We can put out press releases, and then nobody runs anything because it's kind of boring, and you get a press release every day about where the spraying may happen, and it just gets ignored and is put in the circular file. That may not be a very satisfying answer, but that is, you know, kind of the way. To be fair, wanted to tell you what Jim was telling me about this, and it's true because usually it's what bleeds leads in most news. And oh, by the way, they're going to be spraying over near Bear Creek here. I mean, not necessarily. I mean, maybe we should. Maybe we should start kind of like a burn day. Well, it's a burn day or it's a spraying day over here. I'll be thinking about that. Okay.